Oh, hey there! You're listening to What Could Go Wrong. I'm your host, Alex Kalb, Token's creative producer, dog enjoyer, and Ryu annoyer. And I've got the rest of the Token crew with me, that being Token CEO, fearless leader, and Ryu feeder, Kyle Haste.
Hello! Ryu, my daughter, who is also a cat, for context.
We've also got Token streaming producer, Ryu Petter, and trendsetter, Jamie Quartz.
Damn, coming in full MC style.
Oh, yeah.
We have to put Ryu on the logo, which I think I can authorize.
Yeah. This is our first episode, and what our show is that we are kind of drawing the curtain back, showing you the inner workings, a little bit of thigh and history of Token. And if you're unfamiliar with that, that's our platform where we're making comedy and satire, largely about video games, and also our lovely community on the Token AE forums. You can check out all of that at tokenae.com. It's fucking sweet.
Yeah, I like to think of it as like we're going to be the premier satire and comedy outlet of the games industry, all wrapped in a community burrito. And if you squeeze it, community integrated comedy comes out.
Just oozing. And grease.
And grease. Lots of grease. We didn't fold up the end of the burrito. It's a huge mess now.
Yeah.
It's a community shawarma made by a kid who he's only been there a few weeks and he hasn't quite got the folding method down.
Yeah.
But if you tag along, you'll see we will improve.
Exactly.
You may take a bite and wind up with community all over your pants.
Well, speaking of sharing, in What Could Go Wrong, we're going to share our goals. We're going to share our successes from each stage of our business adventure. And not only do we crave that understanding from you, our delicious audience, but we also want to inspire you to move toward your own goals and see that if three fools can do it, and we learn from most of our mistakes, we're going to pass that knowledge along, and frankly, you're welcome.
Yeah, it's like...
We did it so you don't have to.
Exactly.
Our pain and suffering is your enjoyment. And for context, for the current state of Token as of recording in late January 2026, we've just launched the TokenAE.com community and are plotting at our new shows, Gamevania, and this one, of course, Token's What Could Go Wrong, as well as regular animatics like the Mario Kart World Guzzling update, most of or all of which should be released by the time you hear this, but none are released as of recording.
Now, before all of this, before there was Token, before it was a glimmer in each of our eyes or teeth, since it's...
Yeah, so why'd you take so long to say eyes?
Yeah. I was trying to think of something funny.
Can there be a glimmer in a ball?
Fell on my face. But of course, the real heads know that back in the late aughts, we collaborated before on a little site called gamingunion.net. Back when sites had .net in their name, seriously.
Wow.
We cut our teeth podcasting there, building a community, and generally being a nuisance online. In many ways, it was the catalyst of everything we're kind of doing now. But back then, we kind of fell ass backwards into becoming games journalists. Since your ass was the first to fall, Kyle, how about you talk to us a bit about how you got started with what would become the Game Union crew? You know, what were you doing at the time?
Got started. Are we talking about like, what was that first like month or two or like the months around? Or like, we're talking like, I was born in 1988 and my mother...
I'm thinking fast forwarding to couple months before, maybe.
Okay. Well, I guess for context, Gaming Union was or became a network of websites. There was like the central general gaming site at its core called gamingunion.net. It really should have been called Gaming Onion. That way it just wouldn't, like, I have to pause in the middle of the gamingunion.net. We're not gambling.
Well, and plus it had so many layers of
exactly.
Different fan sites. It's just the layers of a gaming
and
onion.
There's the onion out there. It's right there.
Yeah.
But
we're the gaming onion.
Yeah. The kind of thrust of the network was we had sub sites that were specific to one popular gaming franchise each, like Final Fantasy, Kingdom Hearts, Metal Gear, and so on. And so you need like a competitive advantage. And so for us, by covering popular gaming franchises, just a few of them with like a hyper focus each, people who were biggest fans of those couple of popular series would come to us, but then also use our gamingunion.net as their general gaming news with a community. But it took us a while to get to all of that. And I'd say the first few months before we started, I was just out of high school. Yeah, this was like 2007. And Jamie and I were running a Final Fantasy podcast. That's right. It's 2026 right now. 18 and a bit years ago, we started a podcast way before it was so problematic to do so. Just like this is. No shit.
Oops.
So in 2007, around the end of the year, Jamie and I were running a Final Fantasy podcast that we just started. The reason we'd done that is because I was a news reporter, volunteer news reporter, on a Final Fantasy 13 fan site. I don't even think the game was announced when the website was opened, but I joined the forum community because I was like, man, any site I've joined before, there's always like 10,000 or 50,000 members, and it was hard to make any friends. It was like jumping into Whitewater Rapids. But I was like, if I join a fan site early, I will inevitably become one of the veterans. And the veterans is how you make friends. And so I did that, and I just kept sending news to the administrator, who was named Final Fantasy Kid, and he brought me on to just post the news myself, which was very fun. And unfortunately, other fan sites started popping up that could just post the exact same news. There was no competitive advantage for people to come to us versus the other Final Fantasy 13 fan sites. We're like, we need unique content. And David was inspired by the IGN, I forget which podcast. I think it was maybe the PlayStation podcast. He's like, why don't we do that? And I was like, that's a great idea. This is my idea now. And so I ran with that. David was co-host, as was Jamie, because I knew Jamie had played some Final Fantasies. And we went all the way back to grade 10, which at that time was only 4 years earlier.
Four years.
Yeah, a long 4 years. And we were doing great with that because a lot of people loved Final Fantasy at the time. You know, Final Fantasy VII had already been released for 10 years. Big, big franchise. And iTunes Store with music and whatnot was available at that time, but there were no apps or games or even video game music available. But people were searching iTunes for Final Fantasy, and the only result they would get was the FXN Final Fantasy 13 podcast with your hosts, Kyle, and co-hosts Jamie and David. People really liked it, and we ended up getting like 15,000 listeners. And the thing that kind of dawned on us that leads to Gaming Union was there's a bunch of fan sites out here that are doing really well because we cover one popular franchise with so every last crumb of detail, whereas the big gaming players in the news like IGN, GameSpot have to cover thousands of games a year. They can't cover every single, you know, Famitsu magazine translation from Japan and what it means for Final Fantasy every time that happens, which is a lot. But we could. And so people would come to us because we were their only source for that much content for that specific niche thing. We're like, okay, all these fan sites are running with this dynamic. Why are we all treating each other like we're high school rivals that hate each other? If we teamed up with our power combined, we could maybe take on the big players. And I'd met through David, who was the Final Fantasy 13 website admin, his pal Daryl from another site. We had him on, and we kind of put our heads together on this whole frustration of our powers divided are less strong than they are together. And we came up with the idea of Gaming Union that I just described, and Jamie was on board, and so were you, Alex.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah. I mean, when you guys asked me to join the Gaming Union podcast, I was so stoked. You know, back at this point, I was working a terrible retail job at the Best of Buy, and ever since before then too, I've played one or two games in my life, so I was very happy to talk about these and be an opinionated fool on the internet for reals instead of just having it in my head and a fantasy. And it was really cool to get to do that with you guys and talk a bunch of shit.
What about Jamie, though? I kind of always steal the mic with describing the origin stories. But what was it from your point of view, Jamie?
Well, I remember, you think back to Final Fantasy 13, I was like, wow, such a big mainline title, 13 games in the series, and here we are 20 years later. There must have been so many mainline titles since then. And what are we up to now? I think 16.
Wow.
So we've had three whole Final Fantasies. And you know how many of those I've played? I can safely say zero.
Yeah. See, this is why I fell out with Final Fantasy.
Since 13, they're out there. But yeah, I was going through first year of college, I believe, at the point we started doing media related stuff. I was going through film studies. I was a dorky film nerd going through taking my documentary and film noir classes and everything. And Yeah, we started working on that. I'm pretty sure there are some of the very early episodes we actually recorded at the same time I would be watching movies for my classes, like the next morning.
Oh, I do remember that, because some of our recordings were like 2 to 4 hours long. And I was so unexperienced at editing that I would then spend 40 hours editing it down. Like, it would only end up being like 30 or 40% as long as the original recording, just so I could distill it down to the core good stuff and cut all the leftovers.
All the extended articulations.
Yes, yes.
I do remember there was a specific case at one point where, while recording on a Rock Band microphone,
real gamer shit.
Yeah, Logitech Rock Band microphone.
Real gamer mistake.
That got the job done. I think I was watching, it was documentary film class at the time, and at one point during it, you could actually hear, because those mics were so excellent, it would pick up some audio from my headphones, and I believe I was watching Triumph of the Will for my documentary class, which features some speeches from a very famous dictator.
And painter.
Yeah, and painter. Yeah. Failed painter, famous dictator. And yeah.
That did not make it to the episode.
I don't remember. I forget who was asking me. They were like, because they can hear it coming through the mic.
Right.
And I just remember hearing somebody say, Jamie, can I hear Hitler? And yes, it was. But it was for class, okay? It was for class.
Studying.
Yeah, I was studying, but not for the wrong reasons, I promise.
Yeah, for the right reasons.
Yeah, for all the right reasons.
I don't know, I've seen Fanshawe's logo in a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
A little suspect.
Yeah, they were influenced as well.
But kind of a strange idea with everything all together and our podcast doing well. Like, what if we went to E3? What if we did that? What if we made it extremely real?
Yeah.
And turns out back at the time, the requirements to get into E3 were fairly easy, even though it was press only. You need to work for a actual business, and you have to have like one or two articles published under your name on said site or business within like the last 6 months leading up to E3, which, you know, for us was easy. We were always happy to talk about stuff.
Hey man, make us sound hard and challenging and cool to overcome.
Yeah. I remember that first there was that loop of like, well, what does it mean to have a business? Like, we're just, you know, still like coming out of high school in college. And it's like, what does that mean? And it's like, oh, what it means is you go to a government website and pay them $20.
Yeah. Well, back then it was go down to the office.
Well, was,
yeah, that's true. Yeah, go to the office and hand them some paper and $20.
Yeah.
And bam, you are now incorporated.
Well, the incorporation was the following year.
True.
We created a partnership, which is a type of proprietorship.
We had a business license, yeah.
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 It's actually not a business license. That's entirely different and unnecessary for an office business.
All right, fine. Shut me down on everything.
Oh, no problem. Sorry, I want people to be so inspired.
And it wasn't $20.
All right, it was 18 years ago, and I don't remember the exact wording of what exactly we got.
What shirt were you wearing? It was Hawaiian. Yeah.
It was probably orange or blue.
That's true. You got me there.
But yeah, I think it was pretty quick we got the word back, right?
What could go wrong, right? What could go wrong?
Exactly. What could go wrong?
Exactly.
Insert stinger here. Yeah.
Right. I mean, the worst thing they could have said is no, and then that would have only crushed our dreams for one single year.
I honestly can't remember the, like, if there was a specific, like, let's go to E3 because of this. I think it was like either you, Jamie, or Alex had suggested that we do that, and we're like, yeah, I don't know why we wouldn't try that. That's a great idea. And like you said, yeah, we applied, and I think it was like my birthday and that we got the email, and I basically was having a heart attack. 2009 was our first E3, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And it was like 09 and 2010 were the 2 years we went, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I remember 2010 because my family had just gone on vacation in Europe for like a month and a half. And then 2 days after we got back, we were going to LA.
Right.
For
and
that's right.
The Lakers won both years that we went, and they won in 09 and 10. That's how I remember. And I was back in 2012 and the Kings won the Stanley Cup playoffs. We're just a rabbit's foot for LA, really.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Even when our beloved Blue Jays go up against them.
Yeah. Damn Dodgers.
Shit.
Yeah. The thing that comes to mind for like starting Gaming Union and like getting into E3 and whatnot was just like kept having these little kind of precursor trial and error kind of things with goals, because you might be wondering like, okay, can anybody just go try a thing? I'm just a worm. I'm a uniquely, like when I was at least a teenager, I was like, okay, I know people can go do things, but I'm a special, unique, useless worm that's unlovable and ugly and incapable in a uniquely terrible way. It turns out we all just think that of ourselves at that point in time. But you try, at least for me, I like moved away in my last year of high school. And that's kind of what got me into those fan sites in the first place, because I had no friends except for Andrew Wang. If you're out there listening to this, you were a black belt in Toronto, Don Mills Collegiate. We didn't have social media back then, so I've lost contact. But I would go on the AdventChildren.net forums, or ACF, in my spare time after school. And that's how I got into FXN. But also at the time, I was like, okay, I've got no friends, so I don't have to worry about the judgment of my friends if I try some self-improvement things that I've kind of been thinking about, because over the course of being a teenager, I was like, I kind of feel like an asshole sometimes. Is that because of my nature or my nurture? Can I fix that? And so I went to try to fix that. Also, I was like curious about growing my hair out. And so I really tested the things that I was uncomfortable with testing in front of all my friends, and kind of proved my doubts wrong, where I was like, oh, this isn't so bad, actually. I just had to come upstairs. My mom would see my longer hair that I got Japanese thermal straightened for like $400. And turns out she still loves me. Wow. And my stepfather will shrug.
And I know, I disowned him for a year at least.
That's okay. I was like, I'll be back. I can win it back. If we get good enough, a good Guitar Hero, you'll overlook it.
Yeah. I was like, I don't even know you anymore.
Plus, you know, with that hair, you even look more like a lead guitarist.
It's true. I did look perfect. Like essentially Genesis Rhapsodist from Final Fantasy VII Crisis Core. That was exactly what I cosplayed immediately afterwards. But I guess I bring up that random tangent to just kind of illustrate, like, we did end up doing a lot of cool, crazy things that seemed like, where did you get the confidence to do that? And or maybe we haven't quite articulated those things just yet, but they all started really small. And for me, it was like there's a point of just like, I'm sick of putting up with bullshit. I've had my limit, or I've hit rock bottom. I will now be willing to try some little tiny goal when nobody's looking, just to test my doubts and see if I can prove my doubts right. But I'd fail to do that and prove them wrong. And then we just kind of kept applying that sort of mentality at FXN and Gaming Union.
Yeah, my whole thing was like, especially when it comes to thinking of things like, well, other people do it. It's like, in as much as you're special, you're not at all special, but neither is anybody else. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, just go for it.
Yeah, the only difference, when I'm walking around, I'm thank goodness I had this kind of, it is snowing so much right now. Holy shit.
Right.
No, I have not seen a snowflake that big in years. That is literally like over a centimeter big. Holy crap.
Oh my God.
Wow.
I don't know. I've seen some of these ice raids, and I've seen some pretty big fucking snowflakes.
Oh, shit.
6 feet tall, some of these snowflakes. They come down hard.
Yeah, they do.
That's why those ice guys drive their cars right up to whatever they're doing. It's so they don't have to walk very far.
Yeah. And then they still fall.
What were we saying? Oh, yeah. So for me, the way I look at it, and thank goodness I realized this as like a 16-year-old or something, but the real difference between me and other people more often than not is just how much time they've spent on something. Like even a pilot, I've got our brains are 99% the same, or 99.99999. Very little is different biologically, but that person's just spent a lot of time working towards developing that skill and knowledge. And if I did the same, I could get there too. And so it's kind of an epiphany that helped me quite a lot, and just be like, well, we just got to put those reps in. Or you were saying, Alex, about like you got to get all those crappy paintings out of the way.
Yeah, and I believe this for pretty much anything that you are making in the world, whether, you know, it's art or comedy or music or anything really. But, you know, you basically have like a few hundred shitty versions of that thing in you. And the only way to get them out is to make them and get them out of your system that way. And after you've done that, you will just naturally make good things. Some might say because it's practiced and you've gotten better, but no, it's, we got those shitty ones in your system and you got to get them out. And there is only one way to do that, which is making them.
And I'd say what really helped us a lot, because, you know, if you create stuff and put it online, you're kind of putting it online. You're creating stuff and putting it into a vacuum. you might get some likes from your friends. You know, they might legitimately like it, but because your sphere is so small, typically it's not really breaking out beyond that. So you don't have much of a feedback loop. Whereas for us, we were putting out content to a community and they would give us all sorts of feedback and it was incredibly encouraging. So that's definitely why we've made community a pillar of Token, because it will definitely make us love what we do more. It'll be better. And of course, we can have the community help us make this stuff in the first place. So it's kind of a, in Homestuck terms, an incestuous slurry. I gotta make sure exactly. I preface incestuous slurry with like, that's a quote from Homestuck. I just don't, I don't think about incestuous slurry. Well, we did write that Mew and Mewtwo one sketch.
Yeah, we are not beating the charges on this one, are we?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
You know, whatever. When something's just so in your mind, it comes out in other ways.
That's true. I'm surprised I never got into Supernatural, but I've heard about the fandom.
Yeah, you know, just get into the sequel, The Boys.
Yeah.
Speaking of a lot of it being in there, there's definitely a lot of Game Union DNA in Token. Not in a sexy way, just in the structural way. I do think it's kind of interesting, too, how, you know, with Gaming Union, we kind of brought all the fan bases together and we're like, here, play. We will give you everything you want here. And then, you know, with Token, we're kind of doing like an inverted version of that where, you know, we are essentially making content for an audience that's already familiar with the topic, like Pokemon or Mario Kart or Steamboat Willie. And then we're basically bringing it to them, being like, here you go. Here's something we know you'll like. Now you should come back and talk to us and support us here at our forum where it's fucking sweet and great like things used to be, but not in a weird way.
Yeah, we're trying to bring Internet 2.0 back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the great fall of the online forum happened when it didn't adapt for mobile, but social media and Reddit did, and, you know, other forms of video platforms, but they kind of ran away with the internet traffic. But the proportion of people that are making friends over social media or Reddit versus how people made friends and actually had a community on forums back in the day, yeah, the forums just crushed them. Like, I remember FXN resulted in a few people being, like, several children exist now because Gaming Union existed. Like, that's crazy. But I guess I've got the listener's brain right now. What happened at E3? What happened next, though?
Yes, so to go back to E3, you know, we had acquired our press passes. We were all absolutely over the moon and kind of surprised and seeing, like, how the hell did we do this? But that was an absolute, like, whirlwind of a time. You know, like we kind of mentioned earlier, we were all more or less fresh out of high school, either, you know, starting college or working a shitty retail job. So it was pretty wild to get to do this thing that, you know, I think at the time we all kind of saw as like our dream career. You know, I know a lot of us, we are kind of heroes and idols at the time were games journalists or people in a similar kind of space to that. Mm-hmm. And just being able to essentially be on that same stage was just so validating. And, you know, I personally played in bands since high school. Like, being in front of people and doing that isn't something that really makes me nervous or gives me any sort of anxiety or anything like that. But it's more just seeing the world that I wanted my world to be come into focus and have that. And of course, you know, being there, we were definitely, you know, ragtag group of nobodies showing up. And because of the way Gaming Union was set up, kind of geniusly, was because all the sites fed into each other, we had a really good Alexa ranking, which back then, before it was the robot listening to you all the time, it was essentially a website ranking to show traffic and engagement. And a lot of the times we'd go up to other journalists or marketers and be like, oh, we're from Gaming Union. They're like, who the what? I've never heard of you. And we just go, oh, check our Alexa ranking, you know.
Oh, you're
right.
Out there.
You are. They just look at it and go, oh shit. Like, I should know who you are.
Right. And that was kind of like a beautiful thing of getting into E3, because, like, okay, you want to make any sort of gaming news site. Okay. How do you, the news, you know, you don't want to just wait until it's posted on IGN and then post it late every single time. You want to get it from the source, you know, or find to talk to people that would help you produce exclusive coverage and all that sort of stuff. You need those relationships in the industry. So for us, before E3, we could find different ways to get PR emails sometimes for very few that would publish it. Sometimes it'd be like small independent developers would be more forward with that. But when you go to E3 on a press pass, back then at least, they would give your emails to all of the publishers and they'd start just flooding you in with like, hey, if you want to come see our game, book now. Or they'd also give you access to all the email addresses of the firms that'll be there and you could reach out. So we ended up, of the five of us that went, we booked, basically we didn't say no to anything unless it looked like it was like dog frisbee or something, but which, you know, shame on us. But we booked ourselves in with a 30 or 60 minutes time slots with like every single game we could possibly see. And then we'd have like a 60 minute time slot per staffer afterwards to go write about it immediately, since you don't want to play 45 games and try to remember them separately when you're writing them all at the hotel room at night. You just make garbage, basically. Yeah. So it was pretty freaking crazy. And we were getting all these contacts. And we were like one of the few bunch of enthusiastic journalists to be there. Everyone else seemed to be like, oh, I actually wanted to be a war reporter. Yeah. This is kind of depressing.
Yeah, I write a tech article for whatever city newspaper. You're like, all right, yeah, you do not care.
Mm-hmm. Right. Plus, I feel the Canadian aspect of our politeness, too.
Right. They keep saying sorry.
Everyone's like, oh, damn, these guys are so polite and nice to talk to.
Yeah, they seem to be making... Yeah. They make eye contact. They nod. And they ask follow-up questions based on the information I just told them. Holy... Oh, I gotta change my pants.
Right. Yeah. Actually, I just had a memory dislodged of when Jamie and I were leaving the hotel to go to the airport. The guy's like, oh, you guys are going back to Canada? And we were like, what? How do you know? Yeah. I was like, oh, your accent. And we're like, huh? What are you talking about, eh? We sound the same.
Yeah. How naive we were.
Right. We're like, we don't have an accent. What's this guy talking about? Yeah. These Americans.
And it just felt like I've made this analogy a lot in person, but getting to E3 felt like, I remember in high school, I was like pretty upset that like, there's no adventurous careers out there that I was aware of, you know, and I was pretty much living in an information vacuum, but I was like, oh, born too late to discover lands and do horrible things, or born too early to do that in space. I guess I'll be a bus driver or something. No offense to bus drivers. But when we started doing Gaming Union, it felt like we were actually having a legit adventure. We're a community that cared about what we were doing and helping us improve. This bunch of us were all great friends and doing it for each other and doing it for the love of the game and having success at that and seeing each other's success. Not so much one-upping each other, but just being like, oh man, he did something amazing. I got to do something amazing too and try to making that snowball bigger. And in addition to being like, oh my God, adventure is real. Holy shit. Oh my God, this grass is so green. They always talked about it being so green. I'm touching it. It's tick-free. But it is full of brainworms too, and I have yet to dislodge the brainworm that I caught during that E3, and that was 2009. And it's
like the surrealness of like just being in those, like, I don't know, we were there at a specific time too, right? And we were there during the peak of E3 being an event, unlike now where it doesn't even exist anymore, right? Like, playing like Forza, what was it? Forza 4, I think, that came out at the time. And it's like, yeah, Steven Spielberg's racing me in Forza right now. Like, what? Or like going to the Def Jam Rap Star thing. Yeah. And they're like, yeah, we told them like, oh, we have a time slot here. And they're like, yeah, you can't go in. And it's like, why not? And they're like, because Method Man and Redman showed up and they're in your booth right now. And it's like, what? And sure enough, yeah, there's like a mountain of a guy who's like, yeah, you can't go in there. Like, we just got snubbed by Method Man and Redman. Like, what?
Was it the first, I think it was the first year, because I had just cut my long hair and we took a picture at the club for seeing that like fighting game, like BlazBlue or something. But Shane Bettenhausen of 1UP.com fame and elsewhere, he had gotten into the PR world working for a publisher that brings Japanese games to North America.
It was a King of Fighters game that we were there for.
He was,
they had the sweet Fatal Fury hats. Mm-hmm.
So we were sitting around in the dingy VIP room at the back of the bar interviewing Shane Bettenhausen about this game he was doing PR for, and was kind of like, I think he works for Sony now doing the similar stuff, but he basically was acted in the company as an initiator of finding good Japanese games to bring over, because there's somebody to pick from. So he's kind of using his wisdom to make good picks and then bring them over with his company that he worked for and represent the game. And so it was kind of like mind-blowing to be doing that in the first place. It kind of demystified or got rid of that feeling of like I'm uniquely incapable, to be like, okay, I think that thought might be incorrect. Which is great to at least have a beachhead into disproving a doubt, because you're like, maybe the emperor has no clothes.
Yeah, you've peeked behind the curtain. Yeah.
Who do they work for?
I've been following a bunch of naked people.
Yeah. And then the other dynamic, which you were getting at, Alex, was like I didn't finish college, and college here is like what Americans call community college. And I otherwise, since 16, had been working at like KFC or Burger King or cutting lawns or at a grocery store, pushing carts around and paying rent that way. And so it kind of has like a certain ceiling and financial security ceiling in life of like, well, I guess I'm going to be living in crappy apartments and not have a car and have pretty limited upward mobility my whole life. And that's just kind of the where I am and what it's going to be. When we did Gaming Union, I was like, oh my God, this is like a hand reaching out of the sky that we're grabbing onto and we're squeezing really hard and the hand likes it. And we're going up and suddenly I went from like the frame of mind of like, I don't really ever have that much to lose, which kind of also is a benefit for getting into this sort of thing. But like suddenly we had things to lose and I was like, oh shit, that's kind of terrifying in a happy way.
Exactly.
So suddenly the what could go wrong was like, nothing to, oh, we could lose this. Oh shit.
Yeah. That truly is the downside of, you know, faking it until you make it, is you're like, damn, I didn't have anything to lose. I could just do whatever. And, you know, now you're invested in it because it's good and because it's something you enjoy now. Now it can all come crashing down.
Yeah, exactly. On the silver lining, it is a good reinforcing of getting you out of bed to go do that hard stuff. It makes it a little easier, which is nice. But I'd say it's about as motivating in a, like all the other stuff is still why we were doing it. But the sense of like we could lose it was like why you drive careful down the road and don't drive into oncoming traffic by accident. You kind of pay attention to not do that. It's definitely that kind of like invisible guardrail that's in the back of your head of like, well, we got to keep making this work. Kind of like how we probably all feel right now with Token.
Well, now that things were looking up at Gaming Union, it does beg the question, you know, what could go wrong?
And what did go wrong?
Yeah, I think our more astute listeners would realize that we are clearly no longer there.
Whoa. Oh, yeah.
At this point, we've been to E3. We've started our lives as gaming journalists.
Getting review copies.
Living dreams.
Hell
we've
yeah.
Had, getting review copies. It's all looking up. For the token, I mean, sorry, excuse me, the Gaming Union crew, or at least most of them.
Do you remember Mod Nation Racers? We went to a Mod Nation Racers go-karting event in Toronto, and I thrashed. I was doing, I passed some other journals three times on that go-kart track. Oh my God.
He was so slow.
That's amazing.
And it totally made me think that game is way good.
It was fine.
It was, though. Yeah. It was great.
Yeah.
But yes, dear listener, now you've seen where it all started. And, you know, honestly, we probably could do a mini series just about Gaming Union. But, you know, for now, we'll leave our story here and leave you to ponder what could go wrong.
Cue stinger.
I mean, after all, you got to leave a little something in the tank, you know?
That's right, because like it got really exciting after that. We started getting more traffic. We had staff that eventually grew to 40 people.
That's wild.
And we started getting some business interest around the city as we started having press about our business and people asking us and talking to bankers and whatnot. But I'll leave that for next time.
Yeah, we had ads in physical media.
That's true.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we were on the TV.
That's true.
Yeah.
We went to Holy Japan.
Shit. Yeah.
Well, I did.
Yeah.
The collective, the royal we.
Yeah, yeah.
Hell yeah.
If you guys listening have had interesting adventures that are very goal-oriented, I want to hear about them. What were your tribulations? What were the little tools that helped you kind of like chip away at that, like overcome that initial hurdle? Like for me, I was like straightening my hair as a kid and I was like, oh, I can do anything. And then I applied that later and here we are. But how about for you guys, the listener?
Yeah, exactly. Did we knock any good stories out of your brain with
Hell
our
yeah.
foolishness? Fucking lay them on us. We want to know.
Yeah.
You've been around? Are you a secret Gaming Union forum member that's been following us and not saying hello? We've been begging you.
Yeah, or if you have any questions about everything we just said.
Exactly. If you have a question, if you have something we can clarify or...
reminisce.
You know, make up a delicious story for you.
Right. Well, hell, we even had a forum user that is working very closely with us today. So,
yeah. Well, we look forward to it, to listening and finding out just what could go wrong. And we'll see you next time. Thanks for lending an ear. This has been the Token Crew of myself, Alex Kalb, our CEO, Kyle Hayes.
Hello. I've been the old man this whole time. Bye.
And of course, our streaming producer, Jamie Quartz has also been with us today.
Oh, hell yeah. A lot of fun. Good times.
Nothing went wrong. How about that?